is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hello and welcome to the Hoop Heads Podcast. It's Mike Flinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. And tonight, Jason, I am broadcasting live from a rented Chevrolet Tahoe.
Ooh, nice.
Carolina,
nice.
In preparation for the Jay Billis Skills Camp this weekend. It is 12:20 this evening. So here to wrap up game three of the NBA Finals. Thoughts?
Your prediction's dead on arrival now, Mike.
Yeah, I'm dead on arrival as well. Although I didn't know that the MASH unit was going to be who was going to be playing for the Warriors at this point. So.
Yeah, I mean, hey, listen, Toronto did what they needed to do. The situation presented themselves with a chance to steal a game three, and now, you know, here we are. Toronto's up 2-1. You know, I got to thinking, Mike, and I don't know who I'm rooting for, to be honest with you. I just want to see good basketball, and I don't think that game we watched today was good basketball, in my opinion, but maybe I'm wrong. I would like to see good competitive basketball, but I'm concerned, Mike, that Toronto's going to win game four. They're going to go up 3-1, and then Golden State's going to rattle off three, and then the 3-1 curse will no longer be a flagship thing.
Strictly
that we can
in the domain of the Cavs anymore, right?
Yeah, and I don't really want that to happen. So I'm kind of rooting for Golden State to win on Friday.
Well, I mean, I think it's just going to depend upon availability of players. You know, if Clay can't come back, if Durant can't come back, well, they've obviously lost Looney for the entire series.
Clay really wanted to play today, and management wouldn't let him. Like
I was kind of surprised. I was very surprised that he didn't play. I didn't really read any of the articles or anything leading up to it, but I was surprised that he didn't at least give it a go.
At like 7:30, Ramona Shelburne and Woj put out a little story saying the management prefers that he waits to play until Friday. But he was lobbying to play tonight,
which probably makes sense. I mean, if he would have played, I'm guessing he would have been compromised and played at less than 100%.
Yeah, but
potentially injured himself for the next game. So
that's, I mean, him compromised though is better than what they trotted out there. I'm sorry. I mean,
yeah, it was rough. I mean, it was rough. Steph was a man on an island. I didn't think Draymond was as good tonight as he's been in the first two games.
Draymond was terrible. Terrible.
You know, he had a lot of turnovers and just seemed like he made a lot of poor decisions. And Steph was unbelievable, especially considering, again, that he was really the only guy out there capable of creating anything for that team. He kind of got a taste of seeing what it was like to be LeBron for a couple of years.
Well, I will say, I saw the stat after the game. You know, him and LeBron are the two highest scoring games in a loss now, because LeBron had 51 in game one last year when they lost, and then tonight he had 47. So him and LeBron are once again etched in history next to one another. You have to say, I texted you, I think Steph played about as good of a game as he could have played. I mean, they were basically doubling him every single time he got the ball, and he still scored 47 points.
Yeah, he was terrific. I mean, he was using that in and out dribble to create space and knocking home threes and getting to the basket, getting to the line. He was really, really good. I mean, he was as good as you could have certainly expected going into that game being undermanned. I think if you'd have told the Warriors that he was going to get, what did he end up with,
47, yeah.
So he ended up with 47. If you'd have told them going into tonight that he was going to end up with 47, I think they would have, you know, quietly accepted that and moved on. And so the fact that it wasn't enough just tells you they didn't have anybody else really step up in any kind of meaningful way to help Steph get over the hump. And then on the other side, I thought more impressive than anybody was Lowry. I thought he was terrific tonight. Banging.
Well, the three guard lineup. You know, I was listening. So I went and played basketball tonight, and I was listening to, I basically listened to the whole third quarter, and Yubi Brown, like, God bless Yubi Brown. I can't believe he's still working at his age, but whatever. He's saying, oh, it's the three guard front. And I'm like, well, three guards. I mean, Danny Green's played pretty good, and Lowry, well, at one point they were a combined 12 of 17 from behind the 3-point line. And they just had like, I think, 40 points between the three of them. And, you know, you got to give up and throw in Kawhi in there, who played really well, and Siakam played really well. You know, Van Vliet, that ridiculous rainbow three. But, yeah,
yeah,
I
was
think
crazy.
That was, I mean, and he had another one. He had another one that he hit was crazy, too. But I think you're right. I think Lowry really, you know, it was funny, Mike, someone at basketball tonight, because we had that. So we were playing, but we had a big, like, TV playing the game, like on the right next to us on the like on the sideline, so we could watch the game and whoever was sitting out could watch the game. But someone said, "Man, Kyle Lowry looks a little chunky," and I said, "Oh no, you got to go back to 2014 and 2015 to look at fat Kyle Lowry, because that's when he was not doing well. You know, he was. They said he mailed it in or whatever. But you know, he looked really good tonight. I will say he looked really really good, and they didn't really have an answer for him. And I think the thing is, you know, they were so focused on once again trying to shut Kawhi down, and you know, I think." Gasol looked like a little more willing to shoot the ball. He didn't. I still don't think he had a good game, but he looked more willing to take the shots that he needed to take. Unlike game two, where he really wasn't as assertive as he should have been.
Yeah, I didn't think Gasol was. I mean, he was a little bit better than he was in game two, but he certainly wasn't as good as he was in game one. And I felt like Lowry through the first three quarters, it just seemed like he hit every big shot when they needed to stop a Golden State run, and it looked like they were going to get it down, you know, under five or six. It seemed like Lowry always hit a dagger three at that point. And I've been on record as saying that I haven't been a big Kyle Lowry fan, and I think rightfully so. I think the stats back me up. But in the last, I mean, going back to the Philly series, I mean, he hasn't been great in every single game, but consistently – I'd say he's definitely elevated his play from where his previous playoff performances would have dictated you would have thought he was going to end up. So hats off to Kyle Lowry. He was really good tonight. I think he made most of the big shots that enabled them to hold off Golden State and kind of keep that double-digit lead going in the fourth quarter. And then Danny Green and Van Vliet kind of took him home with the threes and just made plays. The two improbable threes, the one you texted me about, Van Vliet's rainbow, where he probably got fouled on that shot too.
Yeah, then, well, but Kawhi definitely traveled right before he passed that
ball.
Yeah,
and then the Danny Green, you know, buzzer beater, that was a three. I mean, those are two killer shots. So again, the difference is those go in. It's a 6-point swing. They don't go in, and who knows? Maybe they Golden State creeps back into it. The reality is that if this is the lineup that Golden State is going to trot out there in Game Four and Game Five, they're going to have a hell of a time trying to win this series. And they got, again, what's a historic performance from Steph, career playoff high, and it still wasn't enough. They ended up losing by, what, 123, 107 or 109?
109.
So, yeah. I mean, you know, they still lost by 14 despite a career playoff high from Steph. And so to expect that from him again the next game or even more, I think is unrealistic. So they better hope that the training staff is working and getting these guys back, because otherwise, I just think with the lineups that they're able to play, they just don't have enough scoring, and they're so reliant on Steph, and he's got to go against two or three guys. You could tell by the end of the game he was gassed.
Oh, he was done. Every single time play stopped, even when that jump ball happened, he was bent over, and he was very happy that they had to go look at the clock. To make sure that the time was right, because he got an extra minute of breath, you know.
Yeah, I think when you see a guy like Steph who's not used to carrying that kind of load in that same kind of way, it gives you more respect for what LeBron has done in previous finals. You think back to the very first 2015 finals where he just carried the team and created every single thing that they did. And then last year, I think, was a similar look where he's having to do everything. It just gives you a greater appreciation for what he does. And I think same for, you know, the pressure and the burden that it puts on James Harden. And I know that I'm on record again as not being a big James Harden fan, but you look at what he's done over the course of the regular season, it is exhausting both mentally and physically to have to create every single thing that your team does. And Steph found that out tonight, and he was more than up to the task. He really was. But by the end of that game, he was gassed. And so I think you get a feel for the fact that these guys who have to carry and do everything, not only do they have to score, but they have to create for their teammates. And then you're asking them to play on the defensive end of the floor. That is a very, very tall task for anybody, especially for somebody who hasn't done it. And, you know, now you're doing it at the highest level in an NBA Finals game against a very good Raptors team. And it just wasn't meant to be. If like I said, if Golden State's going to trot out that particular lineup and they don't get Clay and KD back at some point, then they're going to be in trouble. And I, you know, I still think they're going to find a way to pull it out. Cause I think, yeah, Clay wanted to play tonight. So it tells you that the injury is not completely debilitating. So I think he'll be back. And it seems to be that there were rumblings before the game that Durant was going to sit tonight and then be ready to play in game four. So if that's the case, you bring back Clay and KD. And now I think to your point where you said you want to see competitive basketball, I think we're much more likely to see competitive basketball. I'm not going to back off my Warriors pick. Obviously my Warriors in five has gone by the wayside, but I'm going to attribute that to injury and hope that they can get the lineup back and then get back into this series and win game four. And then we'll see what happens from there. It's going to come down to health and role players. Those are the two things that I think it's going to come down to.
Well, I think it's going to come down to that, but it's also going to come down to our favorite new segment, the Magic Johnson tweets. Here we go.
But wait, I looked at Magic Johnson's Twitter tonight before we came on, and he didn't have any tweets. He was tweeting about being with Jeff Bezos.
Oh, no, Jeff Wilkie. He tweeted that 2 hours ago. He tweeted 41 minutes ago. I got two tweets for you. You ready?
All
right.
Yep.
I promise I'm not making these up, Mike. I'm not that clever. Okay.
Okay.
41 minutes ago, superstar Kawhi Leonard got a lot of help from his teammates, Kyle Lowry, with 5 three-pointers and 23 points, and Danny Green, who had an impressive 6 three-pointers. Outstanding team effort from the Raptors.
Hey, Magic knows how to count.
Wait for this one. 40 minutes ago, although a losing effort, Steph Curry showed us his dominance, scoring 47 tonight.
I like that. I like that from Magic. He's coming through with a lot of good. He's coming through with a lot of good insight as usual.
Yeah. So, I'm with you. I think Golden State's gonna still find a way. You know, once again, the health thing is really. I mean, they're experiencing exactly what the Cavs experienced in 2015. It's, you know, next man up. And I mean, it's sad to say, I think, Mike, I'm pretty sure, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but if you would have had Matthew Dellavedova on the Warriors tonight, he probably would have been the second or third best player. True or false?
He might have been. You could make a case that he may very well have been. They didn't get much out of anybody else besides Steph. Like I said, I think Draymond was below average. Iggy missed some big threes in moments where they could have used him, where typically he comes through and hits a shot. And none of the bench role guys really stepped up and did anything. Boogie was terrible tonight.
I think Cook was probably the best. I would say I think Cook was the best. But, man, he's really loves that Carmelo game plan. Take those 20 footers instead of
He does. He does. And he got swatted on those two consecutive fast break layups when they were kind of still in the game. It still felt like they were close. They just couldn't quite get over the hump.
Well, that second one was a goaltend. That second one was a goaltend. They didn't call it.
Yeah, I agree.
We'll see what happens Friday night. We'll be back. Did you see the Dan Gilbert news?
Yeah, I did. I did see that. So glad to hear that. And almost, you know, who knows? Hard to tell what exactly that all means, but it sounds like the prognosis is good, and hopefully he'll be on his way to.
It must have been something serious for him to still be in the hospital, though. I mean,
pretty absolutely. Like, I mean, it sounds that's the way I took it. I took it as, you know, he's doing better, but clearly that, you know, there may have been some long-term impact. Who knows? But I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Yep.
And then the last piece of news, we got one more chance for a Vince Carter in the slam dunk contest. He announced next season will be his last. Did you see that?
I did not see that, but good. I'm glad to hear Vince is coming back.
Can
never get enough Vince Carter. Hey, and I got to say, I didn't live up to my end of the bargain. I forgot to look up the names of the Scripps Spelling Bee kids. So
I'm going to try to
do that between now and the next podcast.
Well, my fifth grade English teacher, after he listened to our podcast, sent me the list. He's like, study this list. And I said, I got the one girl, Erin Howard or whatever. I got her.
We're going to do it Friday because I'm in Charlotte, but one of these days we're going to do it, and I'll pull it out when you least expect it.
I have the list in a text message, so I can just send it to you, and then whenever you want to do it, you can
do it. Let's do that. Perfect. Maybe we can shoot for it on Friday if I can sneak away and record. Who knows where I'll be on Friday night, but for now I'm going to have to sign off from the Tahoe and get in and get to sleep.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good.
All right. Well, to everyone out there, thanks for listening to our Game 3 wrap up, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.